I was a very lazy person. I studied voice on and off with my mother because she used me as a, let's say, as the second. Like when she practiced Norma, I would do the Adalgisa with her.
Really?
But I really was not trained at all in order to be a singer. I wanted to be a pianist. And what my mother taught was much more after one had told her that I have a voice for opera. But I cannot tell you how she did this. She used vowels. And she believed in the Italian language as being the placement. French was a little too nasal. German could have been a little too guttural.
Yes.
And so she used for everyone whom she taught a special thing. She asked them to speak or sing, and she found the vowel that was wonderful in each voice. She didn't take people that were just for fun. There must have been some basis to say you have a good voice or you have a possibility of singing well.
Yes.
And then she practiced with the vowels. First the middle range, and then the ranges depending on what kind of a soprano, even what kind of a tenor. It would be too long to express what was going on, but she worked on vowels which were important. For instance, E vowel was a very good sound because it was forward in the mask. And she made the sort of slowly changing the throat to form the resonance.
Yes.
Within another, we could say another, not volume, but space.
Yes.
The space had to be determined according to the quality of the vowel.
Christa Ludwig said that once you find your E punct, you go from there.
True, but you have to have somebody who can hear it. And one could have that my mother heard, and she helped. She also trained a few people for their own sake. In other words, accompanists, so that the accompanists would know what to do when they were accompanying singers. I was slovenly. I mimicked and chopped up various things. And at the same time, my voice, from by nature, had a certain resonance with which she could work. Otherwise, I cannot remember how it developed. It depended on the role. She didn't take very heavy roles with me. In fact, I think she did more with the solfège. That is something that one has to explain to people who don't know what it is, and I don't even remember what it is, but I know it was from tone to tone on E, A, O, U, and it was
Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol.
Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do.
Yeah.
And my speaking voice was always very clear.
And I've said to you before, your speaking voice today is the same as it was 50 years ago.
Well, I hope not.
Well, it's very...
I hope not. I hope it has gained a little bit more maturity.
Well, maybe that, but the sound,
yes,
and the clarity.
Well, I know what you mean, because I don't think I have ever had a squeaky voice.
No.
But with time, everything that was sopranistic developed also in a certain mellowness, in a certain... I cannot show it in speech as much, but I had not... I never had a squeaky voice, and I never had a heavy voice. But my low sounds came more, and I had to be careful not to incorporate that lowness too soon. Not to put any weight upon it, because that would have pulled down the upper registers from C to F or F sharp, what they call the passaggio, the passage towards the F sharp on the top.
Yes.
That had to be so that one could take something from the low, take it a little away, so that you could go towards the top. Mm-hmm. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. You had a voice lesson every day?
When it became necessary, yes. And in that way, my mother saved a great deal of time, because if you have a teacher who teaches once or twice a week, then mistakes can happen. My mother didn't allow a mistake from Monday to go to Tuesday.
Yes.
She worked on it. I sometimes became very disturbed about it, but in the long run, she was right.
Yes, yes.
She said, we're saving time. I'm not letting any errors develop in the voice.
Nipping them in the bud. And
that's right.
Stopping
them. Of course, there were passages one would have to repeat again and again and again when the words came.
Yes, right.